In the past week, new legislation has given police across the states powers to make sure that people stay at home. Under these legislations, Australians face on-the-spot fines for leaving the house unless they have an acceptable reason, such as grocery shopping or exercising or visiting a medical practitioner. But how are these discretionary powers enforced by police, and are certain communities more at risk than others? Toby Hemmings has the story.
Drastic times call for drastic measures. Last week, state parliaments passed legislation restricting individual freedom of movement in order to slow the rate of infection of COVID-19. The message has been clear and simple. Stay at home. For Terry Goldsworthy, Associate Professor at Bond University, this is a balancing act.
This comes down to the balancing act that we have in our criminal justice system, where you have individual autonomy on one side and community welfare on the other. It's difficult. It's difficult for the police in enforcing these, and it's difficult for the public when they look at the kind of expectations that have been placed upon us in terms of self-isolation and restriction of our usual liberties. But, you know, you've got to weigh that up against the risks that we face in the current climate.
For Luke McNamara, Professor and Co-Director of the Centre for Crime, Law and Justice at UNSW, this is an unprecedented situation.
What's exceptional, I guess, about this situation is that we have a situation where people are legally required to stay at home, face certain circumstances, where the nature of the risk they present to the world is not related to criminality. And so this is what's, I guess, really interesting about this set of restrictions, is that they use restrictions on where you can be and who you can be with. And these things are quite familiar techniques in our justice system, where we're managing people who are deemed to be at risk of criminal offending. But here they're being used for a rather different purpose, entirely different purpose, actually. They're being used in relation to all of us, and they're being used to manage a public health risk.
The vast powers that police have been given are largely operated at their discretion. Luke McNamara explains how police should wield this power at this time.
For these regimes to work and to be perceived as legitimate by the community, then it really is critical that the police exercise their discretion. I'd be really concerned if we saw a pattern over the next weeks and months of large numbers of fines being issued or charges being laid. Criminal law does its best work as a regulatory tool when it's not being enforced harshly. So I think it's really important that we encourage the police in this context to use the criminal law and the powers that they have for educative purposes. It's really important that police officers exercise their discretion carefully and recognise that in many situations, I think a conversation with a person or a small group of people, education, warning, they'll be more appropriate modes of policing than whacking someone with an on-the-spot fine.
The issue of discretion arises due to how the legislation is drafted. People across Victoria, Queensland and New South Wales who contravene regulations face on-the-spot fines of over $1,000. Luke McNamara explains what dangers this presents.
There's no formal requirement under the COVID-19 Public Health Order 2020 that police issue a warning first. I think that's problematic. I think as a matter of good practice, it would be appropriate for police to not just occasionally but routinely issue warnings in the first instance, because we don't want a situation where people, out of ignorance perhaps sometimes, face with a situation where they're not complying with the order and they suddenly find themselves in receipt of $1,000 fines, for example, on the spot. For many people, that would be an enormous financial impost, and there's nothing about these fines which takes account of your capacity to pay, and so there really is scope for unevenness and unfairness.
In New South Wales, the relevant legislation will be in operation for a three-month period. However, members of the National Cabinet have been using a six-month timeframe to describe this situation. As the situation drags on, Luke McNamara believes that these regulations will have to shift.
The longer the period runs when we are subject to those restrictions, I think the harder it will be to retain the confidence of the community that the restrictions are necessary. Ultimately, it's important that governments continue to do what they're doing and match restrictions with the risk profile. So if the risk over time, as we hope it does, reduces, I think it's reasonable to expect that the restrictions on our liberty will reduce as well.
Recent data suggests that the curve has begun to flatten as people stay home. But until there is a vaccine widely available, there is no immunity guaranteed. For Terry Goldsworthy, this requires the community to pull together and abide by these restrictions.
You know, we really can't make exceptions. We've got to treat this as a blanket kind of rule so that we don't have examples of what occurred at Bondi Beach, et cetera, so and down at St Kilda. Common sense needs to prevail. And, you know, we're all in this together. No one in society is immune to the virus. It's a great leveller. And I think that we all need to pull together on it.
Terry Goldsworthy, Associate Professor at Bond University, ending that report from Toby Hemmings.